Today is a gift, a fresh opportunity to change your life with God's Word. A day to take responsibility and overcome challenges. A day to take on the world with a different mindset. Welcome to Firm Foundation.
Welcome to the month of thriving in relationship. And when we talk about relationship today, we're not just looking at relationship in terms of boyfriend and girlfriend, like my people will say, it's boyfriend and girlfriend. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about something much more. We're talking about what Jesus put down for us. We're talking about the family that Jesus put down on earth. So we're just going to do some studying and some learning this evening. Friends, church is a family. I'm not the one that initiated it. It wasn't my idea. It's not the idea of any pastor. It's not the idea of any congregation. It's the idea of Jesus, and I'll be looking at it from the scriptures. Shall we read together? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. He says, you are a member of God's very own family. You belong in God's household with every other Christian. That's the relationship we're talking about. Because if you can do relationship well, you can apply this skill in every other area of your life. If you can do relationship well with your brother, with your sister, with any other person, when they take you to marriage and family, you will apply the same skills. So like I said, that the church is a family is not my idea. I wasn't the one that started. I wasn't the one that said it. The Bible did not say the church is like a family. It said the church is a family. And if the church is a family, the person that put it together demands some things from us. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, he said, in case I am delayed, I want you to know how people who are members of God's family must live. And then he explains what he means by God's family. He says, God's family is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. So Jesus, when he was living, he left a family. He didn't leave a denomination. He left a family. And leaving a family, he's expecting that there are behaviors, there are cultures. He said, in case I'm delayed, so that you will know how things ought to operate in the family. Number two, God expects every person who is a Christian to be a member of a family. It's his expectation because he's the one that put it. And if this is what he's expecting from us, this is what we're studying. If you look at the word church in scriptures, it comes in three different ways. The first one is the universal church. Everybody who ever gives his life to Christ, everybody who gets born again is a member of the universal church. In spite of the denomination, whether you like the way they pray or you don't like the way they pray, whether you like the way they dress or you don't like the way they dress, whether you like the way they talk, the moment they give their life to Christ, the expression may be different, but all of us belong to the universal church. But then there is the local assembly. The local assembly is a specific place where a church, we said the church at Corinth, the church at Ephesus, the church, these are local assembly. However, another way you describe the church is a specific group of believers. These are three different ways that the word church was used in the Bible. Number three, it's important to understand that any Christian without a church family is an orphan. If you look at the hospital, the day you gave birth or the day you were born, they took you from the hospital and then they took you to a particular household. When you came into the earth and you were in the hospital, if your parents abandoned you there, after some time they will take you to an orphanage. You won't belong to a specific family. But the moment they take you from that hospital and take you to a specific family, you become a member of a specific family. Now, there's a difference between being a Christian and being a member of a church. Being a Christian means you are part of the universal church where on the last day all of us will meet ourselves in heaven. But what it means to be a member of a church, the word is commitment. And this month, thriving in relationship, we're looking at something. How do we raise our commitment to Christ and raise our commitment to one another? When you raise your commitment to Christ, it means you have become a Christian. When you raise your commitment to other family members, it means now that you belong to a family. And like I said earlier, the church is a family, is not my idea. It's God's idea. So having discussed all of this, let's begin to look at what are the core values that I need to have to be in a thriving relationship. What are the things I need to do? Since Jesus is the one that created family. You know, sometimes in church here, you hear someone say, and then they will now say that church is a family. No, not they will now say, Jesus said church is a family. We're not the one that said it. We're just quoting what he said. A lawyer will quote something and say, I quote, saying, showing it's not my idea, it is the idea of Jesus. So what we are now doing is say, that thing that Jesus invented, we want to be a part of it. Like I said earlier, when Jesus was living, he didn't leave a denomination. He didn't leave an association. He left a family. So when he's coming back, he's also coming back to meet a family. So how are we supposed to behave in this family that Jesus put on earth? Am I free not to join? Am I free to join? Some people say, I don't belong to any local assembly. I don't even care about any church. I belong to an invisible church. There's no problem. The day you're in the hospital, let an invisible pastor go and visit you there. Are we together? There's no problem. No problem at all. The day you need people to cover you in prayer, they will call the angels to just hang around you and pray. The day there is need for counseling, Jesus is not stupid. There must be a reason why he told all of us to be together. So what are the behaviors? How am I supposed to behave? How am I supposed to conduct myself in a church? Number one, the first core value I want you to take home. He says, we are adopted into God's family. So we intentionally create family and community wherever we go. I love this. I love it because of the scripture that goes with it. He says, wow, it's too small. Sorry. Ephesians chapter, I'm sure I read it before. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He said he predestined us to adoption as sons. Jesus, God adopted us. In other words, he took us in as his family members. And that taking us in is because of our union with Christ. Look at how it goes. My son's friends, my daughter's friends, become my children. You find out that when those children keep coming around you, because of the union both of them have, you now adopt them. You don't need to go to a court to adopt them. You give them the same privileges to an extent that you give to your son. So if they come to the house and all of them are eating, you put all of them the same place to eat. In fact, sometimes when you travel and you're coming back, you buy things for those your son's friends or your daughter's friends because of the union with them. I want to show you an illustration. Pastor Anguli, please come. Pastor Edna, come. Pastor Peter, come. We are adopted into his family. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. This person is my brother. This person here is my brother. This person is this person's sister. This person is this person's sister. What is the relationship between two of us? Why? We'll take it again. This person is my brother. This person is your brother. This person is your brother. What is the relationship between us? Are you sure? If you have a contradicting view, this is Jesus. Jesus is my brother. Jesus is your brother. Jesus is your brother. What is the relationship between us? But most times, many of us have relationship with Jesus, but have no relationship with one another. We are not quarreling with Jesus, but I'm quarreling with Anguli. I'm quarreling with Edna. I don't have any problem with Edna, but Jesus is my brother. The church because of the union that we have with Jesus, the Father accepted us as brothers and sisters of Jesus. So what has made me a member of this family is not my ID card. It's not how many dues I pay. It's not the handshake. It's not the hug. It is the relationship he shares with Jesus, that Jesus shares with the Father, that was extended to me. Therefore, I am Jesus' brother because the Father adopted me into the family. And this person is Jesus' sister because the Father adopted her. Same with this. It's the adoption that brought you in that also brought me in. Therefore, we have been adopted. We are member of one family. So what we now need to do is, as we go ahead, this thing that has been done for us, we do it for other people. You create a family, you create a community everywhere you go. Why? Because this has been done for you. And this thing that is done for us, we will never be able to pay for it. So when we hear us say, "All my life you have been faithful," when we say God is good, what we are saying is, most the things God has done for us, we can't pay for it. It's not the clothes, it's not the car, it's not the house, it's much more than that. Because you are his son, what a father is supposed to do for a child, that's what he does for you. So what God did for us, we will never be able to pay for it. Praise the Lord. I'd like you to look at this scripture. The base is what has been done for us, we must go ahead and do it for someone else. And Jesus is a perfect theology. We want to see whether Jesus did this thing. He says, then Jesus answered the one who was telling him and said, "Who is my brother and who are my brothers? Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, "Behold my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother, he is my sister, and he is my brother." Remember, Jesus prayed a prayer, "On earth as it is in heaven, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He repeats the same thing here. He said, "Whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and he is my sister." What is the will of God? You know, it was the Jews that were asking Jesus, "What is the work of God we should do?" And Jesus answered them. In John chapter 6 verse 28, he says, so they asked him, "What can we do in order to do what God wants us to do?" Jesus answered, "What God wants you to do is to believe in the one he sent." That is what it means to be born again. So what the will of God is for us to become members of his family. So Jesus says, now this is the Son of God talking about brother, talking about father, talking about mother, talking about sister. That's Jesus. So most times when we look at God, we look at him from the corporate, say he is God that is far removed. He is God that is, at the same time, he is our Father. If Jesus would say, "This is my brother, this is my mother," what are we saying? We're saying that heaven is patterned like a family. And Jesus adopted us, created a community. So he's in heaven. He's a family. He comes to earth. He creates a family and a community. And then that's what we are supposed to do. Everywhere we are, we're not supposed to knock people's head together. Everywhere we are, we're not supposed to make sure there is bad blood. We're supposed to create family everywhere we are. And now we are in Firm Foundation. In Firm Foundation, are we a family? Our job is to raise our commitment to the Father, which is you have given your life to Christ. In giving your life to Christ, you must keep asking yourself, "Who am I to Christ? Who am I in God?" It's called identity. Who am I? Not what have I achieved. Who am I? If I'm asking for approval, I must understand that I have already been accepted. That's identity. So God does not do something for me because I pray very hard. He does something to me because I am his son. That understanding is what you use to create family. So you're telling every other person, "I am your brother, I am your sister because we have been adopted." That adoption means that anywhere we are, we must make sure we reproduce heaven. Heaven is a family. And anywhere we are, we must reproduce a family. We're going to read a lot of scriptures today. So I'm going to run. Therefore, Galatians chapter 6, verse 10. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I don't know whether it has happened to you before. You decided to give a job to someone who is a member of your denomination, who all of us call family. You say, I want to build my gate. I want to buy, I want to sew clothes. And then you get your material, you give a fashion designer in church who makes clothes, and the person will keep your clothes for 6 months. And then also follow you to quarrel. And then you make up your mind, say, I will never again, you take a vow, I will never again give my clothes to friend builders because they abuse privilege. Because they know we're a family, they abuse it. Friends, abuse does not stop the use. We keep going, creating a family, creating a community everywhere. He said, do good. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are of the family of God, the household of faith. Brothers and sisters here are going to behave themselves out of this community. But you must keep who you are. Who you are is that you're a child of God. Don't let someone's behavior make you who you are not. People will always be who they are. Listen, if someone is an angry person and you meet the person is going to get angry, the person is going to blow up on you. It's not because you're a bad person. It's just that this is how this person is. And I said when I do marriage counseling for people who are yet to be married, I said to them, if this person is an angry person, he's angry continuously. If he comes into your house, he's going to be angry continuously. And the person say, oh, we love her. Our love is so... I didn't say your love is not so deep. That I have not said so. I've not discredited how the strength of your love. But what I'm saying to us is this. People will always be people. Be who you are created to be. Understand that identity is the key. And most times, when you didn't grow up with affection at home, that need for approval, you might misplace it for achievement. There are three things. There is affection. There is achievement. There is approval. There is the need for affection. There's the need for achievement. There's the need for approval. There's the need for acceptance. Every human being has need for approval. Identity says, I have been accepted. So you can't reject someone that has been accepted. Now, this being accepted is something that comes through the renewal of the Word of God, where you know that God does not hate me or love me because I have more money, I have less money. Some of us say, because I don't have, I'm not very rich, therefore God doesn't love me. And because I did not pray so much, that's why I don't have a child. We always have reasons why something did not happen. I want us to remove the reasons. Those are achievements. And get to a point where you say, I know beyond every contradiction, I am accepted in the beloved. Whether I am sick or I'm not sick, something must not shake the foundation of who you are. How people treat you, something must not shake the foundation of who you are. When you hear voices in your ears telling you to do what you're not supposed to do, sometimes voices will come. Especially when you are in the middle of a storm or something has happened, voices will come. And one of those voices will say, are you sure God still loves you? Listen, he loves you. If that is there, when people treat you as if you are not a princess, when people treat you as if you are not a child of God, don't forget. When you have opportunity to do good, don't forget to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. And that's why our confrontation must be high. During your wedding, we gathered. We did the wedding together. Some of us even stayed at in your house to sweep the house. Some of us washed your clothes because you're getting married. And now something is happening around you. We must ask you. Am I talking to someone? All of us are fellowshipping together. We are now seeing you around one sister. We are seeing you in the morning, and then we are seeing you at night. We are seeing you in the afternoon. We are not saying you people are not playing Lido. We are saying all of us are of the household of faith. We must ask you. We are not gossiping you. We must ask you. Most times, the reason why things go wrong in a family is, shh, 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 shh. everybody make a note of. You are seeing someone that this person is about to explode himself. Let us ask him. You know why? Do good to all, especially because when the time comes for contract, when they started building the church site, Pastor Norma said, let's look in our church and find everybody who does anything that has to do with that building so that we can give them the contract. Let them do it. In fact, one of my daughters who works for a Jew said, if her Jewish boss, if someone's house is in Oba Hill and she wants to buy bread, she will travel there to go and buy bread and come. The question is, are we saying that they have not treated themselves badly sometimes? Because when we talk about relationship, the relationship is not water. It is the same union Jesus has with God. It's the same union I'm sharing with you. My physical family will stay here and then it's over. But my spiritual family will outlast the physical family. So we are going to, I want us to take a lot of scriptures and then we're going to have. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which you cry out, Abba, Father. Look at that word again. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. When we say we are a family, it's very spiritual. When we say we are a family, it means that it comes, your spirit and my spirit are connected somewhere. And that connection doesn't end here. And so that thing that has been done for us, remember that there is a spirit in me crying out, Abba, Father. There's a spirit in you crying out, Abba, Father. We are calling the same person Father. You're my brother, you're my sister. The person you call Father is the person I call Father, which means you are a member of my family. Since we are members of one family, that thing that we have, how do we create it in our society? How do we make sure that people who don't know God become members of our family? How do we make sure that those who have never found God before become a part of the universal church before we start talking about the local church? If you go to heaven alone, it will be very boring. Very boring. Yesterday in my life group, we're asking ourselves questions based on the life group outline. And they asked, what do you hate? What is your fear? And I said that the trumpet will sound on the last day and I'll be found wanting. And someone beside me, he said, say that one will be too bad though. And then someone told us that her friend told her that if the trumpet sounds and she didn't go, that God will have to create an Appian way. He said she must use the method the people used to go to Libya to go to heaven. You're my brother. You're my sister. We have been adopted into one family. We have a job to do. We need to create this family everywhere. This family is sweet. We need to go and let people who don't know God begin to know about God. And of course, it starts with our behavior. Then the third, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. I love the way TPT put it. Recognize the value of every person and continually show love to every believer. Everybody has value. But just remember that when the person is a believer, I'm sorry, a little bit of preferential treatment. I'm very sorry. We're a family. Sometimes I discover that if someone doesn't have the same belief with us, we don't treat the person well. Especially the people you feel that maybe they belong to a cult group, or the people you feel that their morals are so low. We don't treat them well. Everybody has value, whether it's a native doctor or it's a witch. Why are you laughing? It's true. Witch has value because you must understand that person is still in the image of God. It is that the person has been deceived by lies. And we have a higher spirit, the spirit that calls Abba, Father. We are stretching out. You are stretching, Abba, Father. I'm stretching, Abba, Father. We have a family bond that we can use to destroy things that are against our family. Everybody has value. Whether it's someone that is same-sex relationship, everybody has value. Whether it's someone that does not belong to the same political party with you, we all have value. Whether it's someone that is so much against you because of whatever it is, we all have values. I want you to understand that we must look at people from the eyes of our Father. When our Father looks at anything, he calls that thing from his prophetic destiny. So he looks at Gideon. Instead of calling Gideon a wimp, he called Gideon a mighty man of valor. He looks at Sarah. Instead of calling Sarah a barren woman, he calls her a mother of nations. God seems to be contradictory. He sees red and calls it white, and sees white and calls it red. God will never and can never lie. If God calls red white, automatically the red will turn to white. Everybody, listen, the mark of our family is that we value other people. The mark of our family is that I can look at someone who is so different from me and respect the person. It's easier to respect and honor people who believe the same thing you believe. It's much, much difficult to look at someone who doesn't believe the same thing you believe and give the person respect. Listen, we can disagree. Disagreement is allowed. We can even quarrel, but we are not permitted to hate. I can disagree with you because our views are different. I can even quarrel. In this disagreement, we can even quarrel, but I don't have the permission to hate you. Recognize the value. Show believers love. Listen, do you know? It is easier. I was saying to myself this morning, it is easier when someone has offended you. The easiest thing to do is to tell the person, go your way, I go my way. I have no time to talk to you. Talking to you is a waste of time. You are under my cup. It's very easy. The hard work of sitting down with Pastor Peter and say, Pastor Peter, we need to talk about how you treated me. That is very hard. You know why? Because many of us do not like to confront. So if I want to talk to Pastor Peter, I will have to insult him and abuse him and bring him down. And then when I finish, say, I know they fear anybody. I know they fear anybody. No. Am I talking to you? It's easier to tell Pastor, if I offend Pastor Peter says, I want to go and start my own church. It's easier. Yeah. All he needs to do is, he won't even have to resign. He'll just give me a phone call. Say, I have just received a heavenly call, a higher calling. Is that not easy? He can send it to me as a text message. Yeah. Whether I read it or do it to me as a mail. Or send someone to come and tell me. But for Pastor Peter to come into my office, Pastor K, please, I want to see you. I say, anything, please, ma, can you sit down? Please, I want to talk about how you treated me at the gate yesterday. Two things are involved. I can look at Pastor Peter and say, how dare you? Do you know who I am? Your lead pastor, for crying out loud. You are sitting me down to talk to me. Pastor Peter, from today, you are fired. And then I can come to church and tell all of you something. That one is easier. But for us to sit down together and begin the hard work of working out what you did to me. You know why? Because Pastor Peter may tell me the first time, I won't agree. I will bring my defenses. Pastor Peter, okay, when you also did this, when I said that, you also did this. You also remember 2 years ago when I was telling you that this thing you're doing, saying to me, you did it to me. I didn't call you for a meeting. Why are you calling me now? We can go back, forward, back. We can go forward, back for 3 hours. We can go forward, back for 1 week. The idea is this. We must invest energy. We must invest time on working out the areas of disagreement if we're going to create a community and create a family. You know, there are some of us, your husband has offended you. To tell him what he did is a problem. Some of us are very good. They are good malice keepers. They have PhD in keeping malice. So you are still talking with the person and you don't know that what you did to the person many years ago is still in the person's heart. The person is not saying it to you, but there is something about the person's behavior that goes off on you. And then eventually, you mistakenly do things. The person will go bring arsenal, bring a gun of 2 years ago and use it to shoot you. We can't create a community. We can't create a family like that. Listen, you will offend me. I will offend you. But we're a family. I remember when me and my husband couldn't agree on anything. On anything. So we decided by ourselves that we're going to just deceive everybody. You know, there are many couples who are living in the state. We see people wear uniform. The uniform is very fine. You wear the same shoe. You wear the same belt. Wear the same wristwatch. Have even the same hair. But two of you don't see eye to eye. So you come to church. While you are coming to church, two of you were keeping malice. As you come to church, say, see mama, just give her a teat. It took us time to walk through those areas of disagreement. It took us time. It took energy. I have told you this several times. If you watch any time our spiritual father comes, he will stay in the middle. It's not style. It is our years of disagreement. When he comes for cure, we are quarreling. So we go to the hotel. We will quarrel. He will talk. And then all of us will talk. He said, Papa, okay, let's go to church. And then he holds two of us like this. When he comes, he will stay in the middle. Now you talk. Let me talk. But when you look at those 5 years, the more we walked through those issues, the more we understood ourselves. Don't be afraid to create a family. Don't be afraid to create community. It takes time. It takes energy. And it takes patience. I love the scripture. It says, now all who believed were together and had things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Let's take it one after the other. Now, who believed were together? Family. Listen, you don't have to agree with everything I say. I don't have to agree with everything you say. But we must have a way of putting ourselves together. Listen, when you say the church is a family, the church is not, when you say membership is not just that we have our names in the church register. Membership simply means that we are a part of the organ. The church is a body. Each person here, you are a part of that body. Wow, how do I explain this to you? Pastor Derek, come. He says, now all who believed were together. That they were together did not mean that they didn't quarrel. I want us to get this straight. And then he says, and had all things in common. Let me explain. Our medical outreach, we're going to do a medical outreach for about 250 people. Two people put their own resources together and say, this is for everybody. They had all things in common. In family, you discover that whatever God has given you is not for you alone. This is the body. That's what. Anguli is the eye. Edna is the ear. Marasha. Evelyn is the hand. This is what it means to be body. The Bible says the church is a body. Golda is the navel. Linda is the hair. Adeswa is the lip. All of us. Now, today, Anguli, who is the eye, is angry with Edna, who is the ear. And in this anger, Anguli say, I don't want to see. Anguli closes the eyes. Edna says, so you have closed your eyes now. You have closed the eyes. Me, self, I don't want to hear. Close the ear. And then this body is supposed to be crossing the highway. Close eye and close ear. And they are playing home. Boo. The body will fall and crash. You know why? The eye and the ear, all of, I can't do without you, you can't do without me. Thank you. They have everything in common. You know, someone carries your baby and they say, this one, that is carrying my baby. So instead of her to go and think about how she will get married, she's busy carrying other people's baby. This baby you're carrying, this person that gave birth, are you not older than the person? That's a talk in ignorance. Because the baby is not your baby, it's our baby. It's not your money. Now, all our women, even those of them in FDA, are trying to plead with the class so that they can head to Upper Sawamba. Jerry Church, I told you we don't go to Upper Sawamba. We have done several programs there, you didn't go. But medical outreach is moving. So the GRA, most of us are going. Now, this thing someone did for us, tomorrow you will do it for someone else. Tomorrow you will put your own resources and build a hospital for an entire village. Let's not go far. Tomorrow we'll stand and say, we're having visitors at Cure. We need to cook for them. Two of us will gather together and cook that food. That's what we mean. We have been adopted. Let's now go about creating family and community everywhere we go. They had everything in common. Everything you have belongs to all of us. That's why when you're coming to church, put firm builders in the car and come. When you are going, don't go alone. Just wait. Let other members of the family enter your car. Drop them somewhere. Many years ago, something happened in my life I can never forget. My son was at Clarus. If we are going to school, I was driving this pure water motor. Pure water means that it's a boot. I will carry my children, and then I will see that there are many children who are trekking on the road and it's getting late. So as I carry my own, I will stop and carry so many. So this particular that had dropped my children, I was coming back. I saw so many children. So I put all of them, put some in the boot, put some in the car, to go and drop them inside Georgia Grammar School. As I got to the school, I opened the boot. The school started, they were laughing at me. I said, God, if you give me a bus, this work will be easier. We were at pastor's meeting. One of my sons came and said he brought me a car. I went outside and I saw Sienna bus. Did I take the bus? I didn't take. I said, I won't take. My husband said, why won't you take? He said, I want a Jeep. He said, take this one. I said, no, I won't take. He said, you want car of prestige or you want car of purpose? I said, I want car of prestige. I won't take. The person who brought the car said, anyone you choose, if you don't want this one, we'll return it and bring another one for you. And when I saw that, I said, no, I don't want this, I want it. So at night, my husband spoke to me. He said, do you remember one prayer you prayed to God to give you a bus so that when you're going to drop your children in school, you won't forget? That's what made me carry that car. How many of you remember in the Bible that those people were praying for Peter to be released? Holy Ghost fire, Holy Ghost thunder. We release the angel. Go and open the prison here. Let Peter come out. Peter came out and they were still praying. And Peter was at the door knocking. Oh, sometimes when our prayers are answered, we don't recognize the answer. Peter was at the door knocking. And they were, Peter, just like the Lazarus came out, come out, come out. Peter was, Mona, open that. Don't come out. Mona, open that. Someone went to check. They are the ones that prayed the prayer. But when they got at the door, they say it's a ghost. Today I pray for you that you will recognize your answers when your answers show. They were crying for a Messiah, shouting for a Messiah. Let Messiah come and deliver us. When the Messiah came, they were the first ones that refused him. Ladies and gentlemen, persons are gifts of God to me that may come wrapped so differently, sometimes so loosely, some other times so tightly, but the wrappings are not a gift. Sometimes the way you pray the prayer is not the way the answer will come. You say, oh God, give me a child. Oh God, give me a child. Father, Lord, give me a child. That's what you're praying. And God says, okay, give me a prophet. Okay, give me a prophet. And then when the child came, like my case, oh God, give me a child. The moment I saw the child, I said to my husband, that is the end of pastoral ministry. I'm done. He said, don't wear. He said, I want to nurse my baby. How many times have you received a miracle and the miracle turned to a God? Let's go back. Say, they had all things in common. Say, you are my family member. Say to you're my family member. Ah, oh, Rabbi Shem. Do you know that the doctors who are going to be at Upper, our church, our family members, we're not paying them fadin. We're not paying them fadin. That those things they have learned, we have it in common now. How many of you have called Pastor Dr. Gloria? Ah, Dr. Gloria, my child is sick. In fact, she would even come to your house and give it. You didn't pay card. That's what family will do for you. You are receiving medical advice free. You didn't pay. Nah, am I talking to you? You can call the person at 12 a.m. Call the person will pick up the phone because of family. That's why Jesus put down and created family. How many times have you done things and instead of paying money, family members gather around you? That thing they did for you, do it for someone else. One of our daughters was opening a bookshop. She had four members of her family serving her in that bookshop. In fact, they didn't know she was the owner of the bookshop because she was the smallest of them all. Would she have been able to hire four people at the same time? We have been adopted into family. Don't trivialize family. When it's not working, don't speak against family. Sometimes it works so well. Some other times, it doesn't work so well. But those times when family have stood for you, and then tomorrow, the same family tries to call you to order, don't speak against family. They had all things in common. It takes a whole village to raise a child. I'm your family member. You're my family member. I might not like your behavior, but God has put us together. I might not like your attitude. Then he says, and they sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. That's family. This is what God has done for you. You need to do it for someone else. You need to show family members how to receive help. I remember when some of our daughters who come in to speak for us, most time they refuse to stay in a hotel. They say, I'm here for family business. Why are you giving me a hotel? I'll stay with family members. That's where we're family. Wow. So don't be ashamed to say what is happening. Who say, may they no laugh and they go cry? There are some things going on with you that you need to open up to family members so that they can give you advice. Sometimes when you go and take that situation and give to someone who does not understand the family culture, he will give you a bad advice. There are some things about my life I like to share so that all of us who used to learn. Some of the times we're having problems, it wasn't our own personal problems. It was someone that was telling me, do it like this, do it like that. And that do it like this and do it like that. There's no culture of the kingdom in it at all. It is Ugrin Bana Association. They say, this is how they do it. Do it like this, do it like this, do it like that. The day you drive the person, you will discover that family is everything. Have you noticed that all of us do not have equal heights? Some of us are very tall. So that in case we want to remove something up, those ones will help us. Some of us are very short. In case we need to take something under there, so they will go under the list and bring it. Some of us, your hands are very big. In case there is something they need to put some. In fact, something, I was using something, it fell in between mirror. I just called Aaron. Aaron, I was saying, oh yeah, move right. Move. She brought that thing. I put my hand, I couldn't bring it out because my hand was too big for the space. So continually, daily, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. That's why we do life group. The reason we do life group is we're family. We're doing life together. My family members know my idiosyncrasies, so I feel grace for their front. It doesn't mean they accept me, but you know this Christian family, we're saying, let's come together. If you are an angry person, it's just a matter of time. If you are someone that mistaken, a pastor was preaching a message. He said, Urobo men, They can't remove their eyes. He was preaching it. They can't remove their eyes from women. He said sometimes our eyes are there, they are pushing. So if you're an Urobo man, I'm sorry. And then we're in a live group and your eye is mistakenly moving. We will mistakenly help you put it like this. That's why we're family. Hello, friends. We're family. We're family. Look at your neighbor and say, we're family. Tell her, I don't like you, but we're family. Say, I don't like the way you talk, but we're family. Tell the person, you annoy me so much, but we're family. We are family. I now know all those who like to watch movies. My closing word. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I was coming from somewhere. I had driven all day, exhausted, tired, hungry, and thirsty. Now, this, and I was driving, and I was almost dizzy. I was passing one of our family members. I said, one of our daughters, let me enter inside. I said, are you at home? I said, quickly, I am at your ghetto. Water and food, anyone, bring all together. And yesterday, she sent me a text. He said, it felt so good, both of us eating together. For her, it is fellowship. For me, now two people, I told her, I said, now 6 people hunger, they beat me, they come. Forgive me what I'm about to say. Forgive me now. Has it ever happened to you that you are coming from Ring Road and all of a sudden your stomach will, behavior will change? And before you will get from Ring Road to your house, something more than gold. That's where you know family is important. I know you have a lot of brothers and sisters who are there for you. But Jesus can't be wrong when he says we are family. He has family in heaven. He came on earth. He would have said, I don't need family. Father and the Holy Spirit is enough for me. But he still came here. He created family. And then when he was leaving, he said, that's my brother, that's my father, that's my mother, that's Jesus, the Son of God. Now, we are not family because you are insecure. We are family because this is what God has asked of us. Sometimes, you might be talking to your child, he won't hear. It is another family member that will talk to your child. I told my children to do something they refused to do. I gave them assignment. It's called reinforcement. To reinforce what I said. I said, please, you will write Psalm 119. I told them the family members to go and give it to. So when you give it to them, let them give you advice. They took it and they gave them advice. We are family.
Thank you for listening. To get a copy of this message and other life-transforming messages, please visit our shop at www.ffi.ng/shop or call 0706-969-6499. God bless you.